This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. The early death of actor Philip Seymour Hoffman left behind a family, a fan base, and an archive of incredible performances. Hoffman also left behind a few unfinished films, among them the final installments of the hugely successful Hunger Games franchise.
Katniss Everdeen is a symbol. You don't have to destroy her, just her image. Show them that she is one of us now. Let them rally behind that.
Lionsgate, the studio behind The Hunger Games, has announced a plan to recreate Hoffman using CGI in order to fill his as-of-yet-unshot scenes. It is a practice that, though somewhat controversial, has been around for a long time. Clay Wirestone is arts editor for the Concord Monitor and a regular contributor to Mental Floss, where he wrote about a number of cases when film studios were forced to use substitute actors, or as they're called in the industry, fake shemps?
That's right. the name dates back to the 1950s when one of the then three stooges, Shemp Howard, died unexpectedly in 1955. He just had a heart attack. And the group was still owed Columbia Pictures 4 short subjects. And, they kind of got together, scratched their heads a little bit, and decided to forge ahead by using scenes that had already been shot, some scenes from other shorts, which they were already reusing sometimes. And then they shot a few new scenes with Shemp's stand-in. And he just would have his back to the camera, and he wouldn't say anything. And sometimes the other stooges would say, why aren't you saying anything? But anything to kind of make the shorts come together and make them make sense. And then what happened was, a couple of decades later, the director Sam Raimi, who a lot of people know for directing all the Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire, he and his friends, started making a joke of these shorts because they were big Three Stooges fans. And they started, calling. It's like, oh, there's the fake Shemp. There's the fake Shemp. They'd recognize where he was. And so when they were making their own low-budget movies, when you didn't have cast available all the time, some people's shots were done, but you needed to have like a dismembered arm or a leg or somebody covered in gore, they would just enlist their friends to come in, put on a wig, have their face away from the camera. And so he would credit them in the credits of his films as fake Shemp.
Any other reasons aside from the passing of an actor or an actress why a studio might use a fake Shemp?
Oh, yeah. A lot of times you have scheduling is very difficult in Hollywood. I mean, the most recent example of this is in the most recent Thor movie, where Natalie Portman actually had another film that she was doing. And so Chris Hemsworth, who was starring as Thor, he just brought in his wife to be Natalie Portman's lips in a climatic kissing scene, So, it wasn't entirely bad.
How about for injury or, other kind of contractual disputes?
Right. Well, there's a couple of great examples of that. I mean, one of them is, the second Indiana Jones movie, Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, Harrison Ford had hurt his back really badly, almost actually before the shoot began. And he soldiered on, but at a certain point he was basically in traction for a couple of weeks. And so his stunt double jumped in. And, you usually think of stunt double as just being, he'll do the stunts that the star can't do. But Steven Spielberg decided he was just going to have the stunt double basically do everything that Harrison Ford would do. And it actually worked out remarkably well because the stunt double, at least at the time, looked so much like Harrison Ford that Steven Spielberg actually confused them on the set. The guy's named Vic Armstrong, and there's some pictures of them from the time, and it's really uncanny.
I see in your article here, according to Ford, we could go home to the wrong wives and they wouldn't notice.
Yes. I've seen some more recent pictures of Vic Armstrong, and I don't think it necessarily holds true now, but maybe at the time.
How about contractual disputes that we hear so much about in Hollywood?
Yeah, well, Superman 2, which is actually a pretty beloved entry in that franchise starring Christopher Reeve, basically the entire movie was shot with one director, Richard Donner, who directed the original Superman movie. And then at a certain point, the studio decided to go in a different direction, brought in a British comedy director named Richard Lester to do it, and who reshot a lot of the movie. But Gene Hackman, who famously played, at least in those movies, Lex Luthor, really didn't like Lester, didn't want to be any part of this new reshooting of it, and so just refused to have anything to do with the reshoots there. He was then replaced by a body double and some voiceover dubs. The other great example of this is, and most people don't even know this, is in the second and third Back to the Future movies, when Crispin Glover wouldn't return because he felt like he wasn't being offered enough money to play George McFly, Marty McFly's dad. They cast another actor, put facial prosthetics on him, sometimes hung him upside down, put dark glasses on him, anything to convince people that it was actually Crispin Glover. And old footage of Crispin Glover, too, from the first movie. And that actually ended up being so controversial that that Glover, you know, sued them and brought an action against them for misappropriating his likeness in those movies. And he actually won. There are actually now rules that prohibit that from happening.
Well, that's a sort of old school solutions with the prosthetics and the throwing the voice. How about when did digital solutions rather than the look and sound of light actors become an option for creating shimps?
Yeah, I think the first widely reported one was when Brandon Lee died pretty tragically during the filming of The Crow in 93 or so. He'd filmed most of the movie, but they digitally superimposed his face over a stuntman for a few key shots of that movie. And in the article, at least, I used the term kind of digital shimp. That's kind of the first time you started to see those, but certainly not the last.
Let's hear a clip from the trailer of that film, The Crow, starring Brandon Lee, son of Bruce Lee.
People once believed that when someone dies, a crow carries their soul to the land of the dead. But sometimes, just sometimes, the crow could bring that soul back to put the wrong things right.
And later we read that Ridley Scott used the same techniques to recreate Oliver Reed in this film, The Gladiator.
Yes, by the time that Ridley Scott was directing Gladiator, which was in 2000, the technology had advanced enough that they threw a lot of money at it. I think they said some $3 million to digitally recreate Oliver Reed's face, and it looks pretty good. There were not a lot of complaints about that, as opposed to when they tried something like that in The Sopranos a few years before, and it looked really kind of fake and bad.
Oh, when his mother died, Marchand.
Nancy Marchand died of cancer. They had no plan in place, even though they knew that she was dying of cancer. They're like, well, we're just going to go along with this. And she died unexpectedly. And series creator David Chase just had to cobble something together and make it work.
True to mental floss form, Clay, you number 11 fake shimps. Now, we can't go to 11 today, but any other recent cases of studios using shimps that we might be familiar with?
Well, I mean, kind of more recently and tragically, when Heath Ledger died of a drug overdose in 2008, he was right in the middle of filming a movie called The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus, being directed by Terry Gilliam, former Monty Python member. And it was actually a really problematic thing because Heath Ledger's name bankrolled movies, and there was a big danger that the entire movie would fall through and not be able to finish. He hadn't filmed a substantial number of his scenes. So Terry Gilliam put his head together with his daughter, who was a producer on the movie, and they decided, you know, this was already a movie that was about kind of alternate realities, people changing identities, and so they brought in Johnny Depp, Jude Law, and Colin Farrell, who all played like other incarnations of the character, as he kind of morphed from one thing to the other.
To varying degrees of success, if I remember.
I don't think it was a resounding success, the movie. But
well, the massive, largely adolescent fan base for The Hunger Games may not have a lot of overlap with devotees to the work of Philip Seymour Hoffman, but they are vocal. Any complaints from them so far about plans to CGI Philip Seymour Hoffman for the final two installments?
You know, I think the word was that he had filmed the vast majority of his appearances. I think there was talk that there's maybe one or so crucial scenes left. So I think everyone, including people who like Philip Seymour Hoffman and people who like The Hunger Games, are just kind of waiting to see and giving it a shot.
Clay Wirestone is himself, no shimping around, arts editor at the Concord Monitor and a regular contributor to Mental Floss. And you'll find a link to read his article, 11 Times When Fake Shimps Replaced Real Actors. There's a link at wordofmouthradio.org. Clay, thanks so much for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
You may remember earlier this month when our producer, Taylor Quimby, had some trouble writing a love song composed of romantic cliches for Valentine's Day. So we turned to you for help completing the song. Well, you responded in a big way, and we're going to be playing some of the best submissions. Signed, sealed, and delivered. We are yours. That's when Word of Mouth continues.